T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Rothaus comes forward, Miami and FSU for the 64th time, and away we go. It comes down to the 10-yard line. It is Harley across the 15. Harley returns it for the first time out to the 21-yard line, and here comes Jared Williams.
And we're underway here at Hard Rock Stadium. And it goes out the back of the end zone, so the Jets will start first and 10 from their own 25-yard line.
Williams to the air, looking, flicks his fingers, lets it go. He's got Thomas out there. It is caught for a touchdown, 40 yards. Rev Williams to Jeff Thomas, a heavenly throw. And Miami strikes first in Tallahassee.
Shotgun from Fitzpatrick again, back to throw. Getting pressure, gets it off, touchdown.
All right.
It's Preston Williams back in the end zone. He was wide open
by himself.
From the six, Williams turns, gives, left side, three, two, one. Busting into the end zone, standing up, DJ Dallas. Touchdown, Miami.
Back to throw, Fitzpatrick looking, flips it back, shoulder, caught, touchdown. It's Devontae Parker, what a catch.
All right.
Williams brings him up, windmills his arms a few times, sends Mark Pope wide to the right. Turns, play fakes, looking deep, lets it fly for Wiggins, got him, at the 15, at the 10, at the 5, touchdown, Miami! 55 yards, touchdown pass, a heavenly throw from Williams.
Jared Williams just gave us Miami Hurricanes magic.
Onside kick.
Onside kick.
15 seconds remaining. The Dolphins lead by 8. Thicken will apply the kick. There it is. A big bounce, and the Dolphins
got it. Devontae Parker
picks it at the 48-yard line, and this game is all but over. The final score, the Miami Dolphins 26, the New York Jets 18, and the first win of the Brian Flores era in Miami.
That's going to be it in Tallahassee. A collector's item for Manny Diaz. His first win as head coach over the Florida State Seminoles. 3 in a row to Miami. And the Hurricane faithful are basking in the joy. Savor the moment. It's Miami 27, Florida State 10. That's your final score at Doak Campbell Stadium.
Take it to the house. Take it to the house. 305. Take it to the house. Well, we got that five.
And it's a 4-0 win for the Panthers over the Detroit Red Wings. Here tonight at the BB&T Center.
Victory formation for FIU. Wiggins takes the snap. He applies the knee.
The final score, Miami 129. Yes, you heard right. Miami 129, the Houston Rockets 100.
Here we are live at Twin Peaks in Davie, and boy, those Florida Gators stink.
We were bad. I underestimate that Georgia defense now.
Great weekend for South Florida. You just heard it in the montage by our own Alejandro Solana. Big Hurricanes victory. That one felt good. That was as complete a game as I've seen the Hurricanes play the entire season. And I will tell you this about the Miami Dolphins victory. Didn't feel bad to me at all. Like, I didn't know how I was going to feel. Now, I think doing it to Adam Gase is part of the fun.
That's all the fun.
All the fun.
It really was.
Because if you had beaten, what, Indianapolis, I think, is who they have next week. So if you beat Indianapolis, I don't even know who their coach is.
No, it doesn't matter. Like, Frank Wright or something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say Jim Caldwell, but I think he's our coach.
He is. He's with us. Yeah. He's male on medical leave.
Yeah.
But no, it was Gase. It was seeing Gase down there playing Sudoku, as you like to call it, confused and not calling any good offensive plays. That brought me pleasure. I was staring. I was at the stadium. I would stare at Gase over watching the football game.
Yes.
I felt crazy by doing it.
I would have paid for a pay-per-view feed of just Adam Gase the entire game. He looks lost. He gets incensed, and it's his own fault. And then when the defense is out on the field, he goes and plays Sudoku.
Doesn't know what's going on.
It's crazy,
You
man.
Can see him roll his eyes from the club level.
Yes.
And that's what I enjoy. When I first saw him, I was like, I just saw him roll his eyes. I'm in the club level. I'm up there in the media booth. Media booth, we are on Mars. We're so far away from the damn field. It's ridiculous. And I can see Gase rolling his eyes in anger and disgust. It made my day. I solidified yesterday that I dislike Adam Gase.
Yeah, it became real clear. I remember this, you know, years ago. I had moved to South Florida from Chicago in 1987. And I came down. I was a White Sox fan. And I thought I was a White Sox fan, and I'm a White Sox fan. And then I remember there was this interleague play game, and it was the White Sox and the Marlins. And I thought I was going there to root for the White Sox. And I found that I was rooting for the Marlins, and it solidified to myself, oh, you know what? I'm a Marlins fan. Like, I don't have any affinity towards them. If you had any doubts yesterday how you felt about Adam Gase, however you ended up feeling as you were watching him suffer, and it was suffering.
It surprised me.
He was suffering.
Yes, he was.
And I was taking delight in that. And I felt really good for Brian Flores. Mm-hmm. The dude was obviously trying to win games. He's challenging PI calls. Like, he's trying to win games. I felt good for that team. And I would say, on a grand scale, while the tank is not the players on the field, it has to do with the personnel that you've put out there in the first place. The players are trying to win, and they should be. And if you win a couple games in a season, and the season is so deranged that because you win a game or two, you end up with the fifth pick instead of the first, well, that's just the way that it happens. You cannot go into a season expecting to win zero games, and there's still eight games to be played. There's a lot that can happen. If the Dolphins can beat the Jets, the Bengals can beat whomever that they're going to end up playing at the end of the season. And the Jets, I mean, who knows? But regardless, I felt good yesterday.
But even on that, if you get to five with 14 draft picks, give them three fives, two fours, a three and a two to move up three spots. Like, we have the equity to go wherever
Correct.
We want in this draft.
Correct.
And that's what I want people to think about. With the I hear a lot of it, but I heard some people saying, oh, well, there goes Tua. Well, there really not goes to it. We have three first-rounders this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, the equity in it, you can go up and down as you please. Chase Young, if you get the second pick, that damn defensive end out of Ohio State, he is going to turn a franchise around defensively because he can
Burrow.
Play ball.
Joe Burrow.
Burrow's looking good. I've been questioning Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is impressing me week after week. Don't let one win. Now, I'm not expect. Don't get excited like the Dolphins are about to run the table. But them winning that game, though, it was encouraging. Watching what they did with Fitzpatrick, he had his Fitzpatrick game,
he
his
did.
Fitzmagic game.
He did.
Preston Williams and Devontae Parker winning their one-on-ones on the outside won that game.
Yep.
They were out there. They went cover three or cover one, they won their one-on-one matchup.
Devontae Parker made a man's grab in the end zone. I mean, that was the first-round pick of Devontae Parker that you were expecting to see for four seasons. But he did it yesterday.
If he did that four seasons ago, I'd have his jersey.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, that was a man's grab.
Yes, and Preston over on his side, on those edges, when they loaded the box thinking we were running and they got the man-to-man, Fitzpatrick threw a beautiful pass and both of those guys were open. That's what they need to do. You know what? I saw our offense yesterday. I saw the Dolphins' offense yesterday. That's what it's supposed to look like. The Jets are not a good team, let's be honest. Woo. But the Dolphins did play well. They were not outclassed yesterday. They were outclassed for most of the season.
And the Canes handling FSU at Doak. I mean, handling FSU. I mean, obviously, Willie Taggart got fired.
Yeah.
That was, not as bad as when Al Golden got fired after that Clemson game, which was 58-0. But FSU got outclassed on their home field after a year and a half of tumultuous tenure for Willie Taggart. You kind of saw the writing on the wall there.
The score wasn't as bad for the Al Golden 58-0. But the Canes outclassed Florida State.
Outclassed.
It looked like there was a high school team playing out there. Seriously. The portion of that game I watched, I picked it up about into the first quarter, and I was watching the game. I'm like, dude, these are Florida State players? I was thrown off by how those guys look. DJ Dallas, the first time in his career, he got 20 touches, and he looked great. I know he only had, what, like 60 yards, but that's what set up Jaren Williams for the big game. I've been begging him to feed DJ Dallas the ball. He gets healthy, they feed him the ball, and the offense looked great. That's what the offense is supposed to look like. I kind of saw what Dan Enos was trying to do all season on Saturday.
And I think Jaren Williams, I mean, he looks good to me.
He really looks good,
and you'll have plenty of years with him. So I'm excited about what I saw this weekend. Like you said, I don't expect that the Dolphins are going to go roll over the Indianapolis Colts next Sunday, but I enjoyed yesterday. I really enjoyed yesterday. And we're going to do something today that we rarely, if ever, do. We had Manish Mehta on with us on Friday, I believe, right? Yeah. He covers the Jets for the New York Daily News. He has been a huge Gase detractor. We're going to have him on again today because yesterday had to feel like his head was exploding. That's how badly the Jets looked. And Manish Mehta, like I said, just an unbelievable critic of Adam Gase. John Michaels, who is a huge Miami Hurricanes fan, he's going to join us today. Joe Shad from the Palm Beach Post also covers the Dolphins for the Palm Beach Post. He's going to join us today. Brian Flores has his day after press conference around 2:30 today. And so we're gonna air that live at 2:30. Let's get headlines real quick here from Alejandro Solana.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
So you guys talked about it, the Canes' big win over FSU. It ends Willie Taggart's era with the Florida State Seminoles. We do have some good news and some bad news, though, after that big Canes win. The good news, Greg Rousseau wins ACC Defensive Player of the Week. He was a part of those 9 sacks during that game.
Eight on Saturday. I mean, it was crazy.
He had 7 sacks in the last 2 weeks.
Crazy.
And I've been listening to people talk about him. I guess he was injured early in the year. 5 in the first 7 games. 7 sacks in the last 2 games.
He ate.
Y'all got something in Rousseau.
I have a feeling I know what you're going to say for the bad news. Go ahead, give it, Solana.
Yeah, Manny Diaz confirms Bubba Bolden is out for the season. Remember, he had that really nice interception and then got crushed by his own teammate in the celebration.
Swag.
Don't even. Don't even.
I swear.
Who was it that ran into him really hard?
They tore his ass up.
I mean,
that was the best hit of the game. I was like, damn, they out here hitting.
He got helicoptered.
They out here hitting.
Man, he is out for the season. What a bummer. What else you got, Solana?
So, quick reminder, Brian Flores, after his first win as an NFL head coach and, of course, the Dolphins' first win of the season, he'll speak to the media live at 2:30, so in about 20 minutes, we'll carry it here live on the Hockman and Crowder Show. As for the Dolphins, they're going to look for their second win in Indianapolis this Sunday. It's at 4:05 p.m., but some pretty big news. Jacoby Brissett, the Colts' starting quarterback, he went down with an MCL sprain yesterday against the Steelers. He has not been ruled out officially, but it looks like it's going to be Brian Hoyer this Sunday versus the Dolphins.
Hawk, is it Colts's?
It's not Colts's.
I mean,
no, it's not. It's the Colts quarterback.
That's what you guys took from that? I could not get past it.
I didn't hear anything you said after Colts's.
The Colts's quarterback. I mean, are you kidding me?
Autocorrect.
The Colts's quarterback. Are you joking?
The Dolphins' first win of the season.
Crowder and I are looking at each other like, this dude just say the Colts' quarterback.
Oh, boy. Oh,
goodness gracious.
I'll let you recover some. I got to get back to Bubba Bolden. Colts's. I got to get back to Bubba Bolden. Remember Grammatica? He tore his knee up, the kicker and all, and people get hurt celebrating?
Yep.
Just to talk about that a little bit for fans. When you're playing, you're tense, like you're tensed up, you're in your hips and knees like you're ready to play. When guys start celebrating, they loosen up.
You're loose.
So then, like you're saying, a teammate comes and hits you in the side of your head, you're not ready for it.
Who's that that little dude? Is it Jimmy Murphy? Remember when he scored that touchdown and he got knocked the hell to the ground?
Yes, like that. If he gets injured, you get a better chance of getting injured with your teammates jumping on you than actually in a play because you're not ready for that kind of contact. So, yes, Bubba Bolden, I chuckled a little bit.
I'm laughing because somebody texted in. I was thinking this, too. Did you say that the Colts' backup quarterback is Brian Hoare?
No, Brian Hoyer.
Didn't it sound like whore? Someone else texted it in. I noticed it, too.
But he got a little side job?
Yeah, the Colts' backup quarterback, Brian Hoyer.
He got a little side job. He's selling himself.
Tell him what you don't know the Colts is.
Tell him what you're going to do to Hoyer.
All right, what else you got? So,
man, really missed you guys this weekend.
Colts.
Tonight.
Man, if I had that radio.com rewind, I know what I'd be doing for the next hour and a half.
Colts.
Tonight on Monday Night Football, it's the Cowboys' versus the New York Giants'. That's at 8:20 p.m. The Cowboys' are -6.5.
Oh, God. All right, anything else?
Yeah, and just finally, the Miami Heat embark on a 3-game West Coast road trip that begins tomorrow in Denver, 9 p.m. here on The Ticket.
All right, let's take a quick break here because we want to make sure that we air Brian Flores' press conference on time at 2:30. We're at Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks and Davie, this hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Twin Peaks in Davie, it's on University Drive. Perfect place for some Monday night football tonight or maybe just a little after-work eat and drink.
For 41 years, J&K Roofing has been fixing South Florida roofses. Come on, Solana.
Colton.
40. Oh, but seriously, 41 years now. J&K has been down here. They are the premier South Florida roofing company all day. 41 years. What were you doing 41 years ago? What were you doing yesterday? J&K has been fixing, replacing, and restoring roofs in South Florida, and they know exactly. 41 years, you know what's going on. They know what customers want. They want quality and service and the quality, all high-quality roofing material. Shingles, gravel, tile, whatever you're looking for, J&K has the top-rated high-quality roof and the workers. The skilled workers are amazing. They've been there for years, reliable, hardworking, experienced, respectful, professional. And for J&K, they're not trying to nickel and dime you for $100 here, $100 there. They're not going to spring charges up on you. They've been doing roofs in South Florida 41 years. They know what they're doing. They're not going to double the price on you overnight, but they have it all. Down in South Florida, the roof restorations are big. They will repair all damages as well as get rid of mold and moss, and that will create further damage on your roof. They'll get rid of that. And the waterproofing with the hurricanes, with the temperature change, sometimes a roof is not old enough to replace, but you just need a waterproofed. You need a waterproof professional to come out there and make sure there's no leaks, but the roof is settled. Now, the roof is set, but you just have to waterproof it, and they specialize in roof restoration and waterproofing. The shingles, the gravel, the tile, whatever roof you want, they will watch out for you. Residential and commercial, and this is the best part about commercial. I love telling business owners this. J&K does not want to disrupt your business. They're a business. They're a 41-year-old business, and they know that installing, replacing, repairing roof, they don't want to stop your business. They'll come and meet with you, talk to you, and figure out a way how to get your roof right, get your roof beautiful, repaired, replaced, or installed without disrupting your business. The best roofing company in the world is J&K Roofing. You got to give Donnie or Julio a call at 954-961-ROOF. That's 954-961-7663 at J&K Roofing.
Give you an abbreviated version of the 15 minutes of the Heat, and we come back on Hockman and Crowder.
You want to see loco?
We are live at Twin Peaks in Davie. Man Cave Monday. We do it every Monday. Today is a little more celebratory than usual. Dolphins win and Hurricanes win. Heat blew out the Rockets yesterday.
I thought it was a joke.
Blew out the Rockets yesterday.
40-14 at one point.
We do 15 minutes of Heat every day around 2:15 and 5:15. And 15 minutes of Heat is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way. Excuse me. I have a bad head cold.
Okay?
And I don't have a cough button anymore. Adrian doesn't come packed with a cough button. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. 15 minutes of Heat. And again, we are moving towards the Brian Flores press conference, which should be around 2:30. We will air it for you live, so you will hear everything that he had to say. Solana, you were at the Heat game yesterday, right?
Yes, sir.
that was that had to feel like a 48-minute celebration.
I tweeted out probably the best quarter, that first quarter of Heat basketball I can remember since the Big Three era.
I mean, what do you think that is? South Beach Flu? Is that South Beach Flu? I mean, they came out.
I guess.
Like, Houston came out. This is what I was I was thinking about this. Any team that's in town on Saturday night and then plays an early-ish game on Sunday, I wonder what the results are, like the historical results on
Everybody knows about the South Beach Flu. Like, doesn't the coach say that? Like, don't you have some kind of parameters? Because we had, like, I would party, but we had a 10 p.m.
And you were in by 10 p.m.?
Yes, I come in, but I start at 6, so I got a good 4 hours. I had me a party. I wasn't a sneak-out guy. Well, These guys are sneaking out.
No, here's the difference, though. You had 8 road games a year.
Yeah.
8 times that you had to be in by curfew. They've got 41. I mean, they spend a week and a half on the road. Like, you're telling me that because Mike D'Antoni tells Russell Westbrook, hey, I'd like you in early Saturday night, Russell Westbrook's not going to go out and enjoy South Beach?
Now that you say that, I would say, if I was a player in the NBA, I would say, hey, when we play in Utah, you got your you have your little 10 p.m. what is it called?
Curfew.
Curfew. Curfew wasn't coming up in my mind. When we go to Miami, coach, don't give me no curfew.
Right.
Don't give me no curfew. Russell dropped 10.
I mean, they 10. Looked they looked like they were the Monstars out there. That was who would you have most fun watching last night, Solana? Was it Myers Leonard?
Yeah, he had that little spoon move.
Crazy.
Really what it was just watching Westbrook and Harden get so frustrated because everybody played well for the Heat. Literally everybody played well. But it was watching those two superstars not even look at each other for most of the game. Like, I really thought they were going to fight each other. I'm not even joking.
I enjoyed watching Mike D'Antoni. You know, you're talking about watching Adam Gase on the sideline. I enjoyed watching Mike D'Antoni because he knew what was going on.
Yes.
Those guys were tired. I was watching him. Like, he knows exactly what's happening here. It was like watching a teacher, like a substitute teacher who's thinking to himself, they're not listening to me. Like, no one listened to me. And that's what I believe happened with Mike D'Antoni. Like, in the first quarter when they're down 41-14 or whatever it was, Mike D'Antoni's looking at his team like, no one listened to me yesterday.
But isn't that what happens? Like, with how a team structured around James Harden, if James isn't balling, what goes on from there?
Right.
Because that's his thing, is just take over the game, take over the game. You'll stand in your corner. I might throw you the ball or I might not. When he's struggling, there's no way that people are going to take over. And now Russell was down. I don't know where he was. Maybe one of these shake spots. I've been in Houston. Their shake spots ain't like Miami. I don't know where he was. But, yeah, you saw it. As soon as the game started, you saw it. You said, yep, they're not ready to play.
It was funny as hell. And it kept up for the entire game.
I actually thought there was going to be a run, like in the second half.
There's always a run. And I kept thinking to myself, when's the run coming? When's the run coming? Same thing. And I'm like, that never came.
I said, at halftime, they get IVs. They get their fluids back in them. They're dehydrated right now. They get a little Red Bull, whatever it is, get a little energy and go off there. No, second half came out the same way. The Heat are – you can't overlook them now. Like, after two games, we were like, oh, okay. Three games, okay. Oh, Jimmy comes back, oh, okay. Now that was the excitement. The Heat can play ball,
They can play ball, and they are fun to watch. So we're going to give you 15 minutes of Heat at 5:15 as well. We'll talk some Heat today as well. But we have a Brian Flores press conference coming in about 5 or 6 minutes, and we want to try to get to that. So we're going to make this a very short segment.
Someone just texted me and said that the Houston Rockets were at Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market the day before the game.
Well, now it's understandable.
That explains it. They were eating stone crabs. I can't play on a stomach full of stone crabs. Y'all got to get to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. It is stone crab season. Delaware has every size. They have the freshest. They have the best price. Get to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market to get all your stone crabs. I love them. It is actually my favorite food, but Delaware has it all. Lamb, beef, veal, pork, poultry, duck, turkey, lobster, shrimp, fish, 15, 20 different species of fish. They have alligator, venison, frog legs. They have it all. Go to DelawareChicken.com to see the entire menu. The stone crabs are there, but they have everything you need. They have all the raw food, and the prices are crazy. Argentinian red shrimp, only $9.99 a pound. Those crab cakes that I've been talking about for years, and I love them. $4.59 each, more crab than cake. And the conch fritters, four for $2.49. You can't beat Delaware. And if you don't feel like cooking, you got to check out the 16-piece broasted chicken dinner. It's oven-fried chicken. It is delicious. Includes 2 1-pound sides, coleslaw, macaroni salad, potato salad, baked beans. You get 2 1-pound sides. You get 16 pieces of delicious broasted juicy chicken for only $34.99. Feed your whole family for $34.99 at Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. But go to DelawareChicken.com. See the entire menu of cooked food and raw food. Find out exactly what you want and call them in advance at 954-983-6831. That's 954-983-6831. Tell them what you want. Your order's packaged ready when you get there. Saving you time, saving you money, giving you a great selection. Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market, 441, one block south of Sterling Road. And when y'all get down there, tell them Crowder sent you.
So, Solana, should we take a break here? And then if Brian Flores starts the press conference, we'll just dump out of the commercials and we'll bring it to everybody?
Yeah, I think that's the best route we should take.
All right, so let's do that. We'll play some commercials for you. Brian Flores is scheduled to speak in about 5 minutes. You will not miss any of it. We will carry it live. We're live at Twin Peaks in Davie. Quick break. The Brian Flores Day After press conference is next. Dolphins coach Brian Flores has just begun his press conference. Let's listen in.
Yes. I went to dinner with my wife. And we talked like we normally do. So it was a good night.
Did you have any messages, phone calls, anything that were special to you last night?
Yeah, I got a lot of messages, a lot of well wishes, a lot of congratulatory messages from peewee coaches to high school coaches to college coaches to friends to. I got a lot of messages, so it was well received. I mean, it was nice to get those. I've got a lot of support. This team has a lot of support. It was a good feeling, really for me. But at dinner last night with my wife, she talked to me about a Dolphins fan who's been a lifelong Dolphins fan. He brings his son to every home game, and he's just. She's seen him the first few games, and he just wanted to get a win and celebrate that with his son. So I thought about that, and how special that must have been for those two last night, and I don't know how many other situations there are like that. So it's good to get one, and now only thing better than one victory is two.
Did you get much reaction from the restaurant?
Nah, nobody knows who I am.
Don't say no one. Is that true? No one came up to you?
No. I hide in the corners anyway.
Brian, what did you see from your secondary yesterday playing their first game with Xavier on the injured reserve list? They seemed to come through pretty well.
I thought they played hard. I think they tackled well. I think that was something we harped on a lot last week. I thought we tackled well. I thought the communication could have been better on some of those, let's call it traffic situations, pick situations. But we got some young guys in there, new guys. I think Pat and Josh Boyer, I think they do a really good job of getting guys ready to play and really locking in and honing in on, hey, these four or five things that we need to get done to compete and be productive in the game. So I thought the players executed that. Obviously Nick had a big play in the game. Jamal Wills had a big play in the game. I thought Eric Rowe played really well. I thought Bobby played well. I thought as a unit, the communication was good. So put together a solid performance. Took care of the deep part of the field, tackled, communication. When you do those things, you normally play a pretty solid defense.
What do you see on Wilt's interception on his end? We saw Raekwon apply the pressure, but yeah. Pretty athletic play.
Athletic play, I think a lot of traffic on that play.
All right, we seem to have lost our feed from Davey there for the Brian Flores press conference, so we will try to reattach, and we will continue to listen to what Brian Flores has to say. He's one of those guys that you just root for. I don't know. I kind of compare and contrast the way that I was viewing Adam Gase on one sideline and viewing Brian Flores on the other sideline, then I don't know if you saw. And Solana, let me know if we get reconnected with the press conference. We'll jump back in the moment that we do. I don't know if you saw the video of Brian Flores being awarded the game ball by Stephen Ross yes. after the game. Like, it just felt good for that guy. Like, that's, you know, you leave New England and all yeah. you do is win, win, win. And you're trying to put your stamp on something. You're trying to make something yours, and you're trying to have some sort of narrative that this was worth the wait and the right hire. And yeah. so you want to see him get his first victory, and he got it. So you feel good for him.
And he was waiting for years, over a decade now, to have his chance to be respected in the NFL. He just kind of joked about it.
Yep.
They asked him, like, "Hey, does anybody come up and tell you?" He was like, "People don't know me," and I kind of agree with Brian Flores. If Brian Flores walks through the airport, do people recognize him?
Okay, it sounds like the press conference is reconnected. Let's go back to Brian Flores.
For sure, which we needed. We needed that against that group. We needed every week. Preston. Preston, this will be a season-ending injury for Preston. I'm not going to go into details of what it is, but... And that's a big loss for us. I talked to him this morning. He's done an incredible job, really. Came to us as a free agent and has really kind of grown over the last 6 months, 7 months. I was devastated for the kid, and he was as well. But, you know, I told him this is just a bump in the road, and he'll be back. I believe, you know, if he attacks his rehab and his training the way he did, you know, from the time he got here, he'll be just fine.
So,
he can be a very good player in this league. But, you know, it's up to him. You know, there's a lot of players in this league with a lot of potential, a lot of talent. But it's up to him to.
All right, obviously we're having connection issues again out in Davie. So the one victory Monday that we get to hear a happy Brian Flores, we keep cutting out on him. I feel bad for him. Total disrespect for Brian Flores there. But
they're reporting that Preston Williams is out.
That's I think that's what he was starting to say there.
Forever?
Well, I mean, forever.
For the rest of the season?
No, not for the rest
of his life. Like, Preston Williams is done for the season?
Yeah, I think that's what he was just saying.
Oh, that was the excitement of seeing what just happened with Preston on one side, Devontae on the other side. They were eating in one-on-one. Yeah. That was my takeaway from the game was those two guys, when they got man-to-man coverage, they were winning every single time.
Because he was kind of saying there as we joined in after we had lost the connection, I feel devastated for the kid. Like, he's really one of the beneficiaries. I was thinking about this yesterday. He's one of the beneficiaries of a season where you're not fielding the best personnel.
Yeah.
He got a chance to be a number one or number two wide receiver coming out as an undrafted free agent. Like, he's one of those guys. Vince Beagle, you look at him. Mm-hmm. Sam Agwavin, although his playing time has seemingly diminished.
Yeah, he was hell in preseason.
And
then those real bullets started flying.
But there's a couple guys where you look at and you go, wow, they're beneficiaries of what this season is about. Preston Williams is absolutely one of those guys.
Oh, he's the number one takeaway from, like you're saying, the season of what do we have, let's find diamonds in the rough. Undrafted free agent, got in trouble in college. That's why I went undrafted. Preston Williams could be a number one in this league. Actually, it's crazy to say. I was talking to Dan Marino yesterday, and we talked about this. And that's what I don't know if it's getting to me.
Because he'd love to have a target like that.
He was saying his size, his quickness, how he knows how to manipulate DBs in his routes. And I was asking him the same thing I asked other people, like, what takes for Preston to get to the next level? And Dan was saying just maturity. Like, seeing the game at a bigger picture. Right now, he's looking at the guy covering him. If he starts reading safeties and bigger, you know, bigger picture of football, he can be great. I was talking to – that's so weird talking to Dan about him. That's why I was so upset that I just heard this man's out for the season.
Let's try one more time. We're reconnected with head coach Brian Flores. Let's try one more time to listen to the remainder of the press conference.
That's not going to – it'll always be that way. But we want to execute and try to play at a good clip, at a good level, and at a winning level. So that's the goal. Whether we achieve that, I mean, that's up to us. That's up to, you know, if we fall short on our process or fall short in our preparation for a myriad of reasons. You know, it could be complacency, it could be, fatigue, it could be, a lot of reasons why that happens. And, you know, each team and each individual is a little bit different. We got to try to ward that off. And that's our job as coaches, to remind them that it's a long season, guys get tired, we need to fight through it.
So without Preston Wardy, Terry, we have several guys, backup receivers who are working their way back from injury and so forth, on and off the roster in one case in particular. So where are you going to look for help?
I think Isaiah Ford's been on and off the roster, so I think he's definitely somebody we have a lot of confidence in. So that's definitely one option. But, you know, from Devontae to Allen Hurns to Albert to Jakeem, we just need the next guy to step up. And at the end of the day, that's really what it boils down to. They know that. I think those guys are up for the challenge. And, you know, while Preston's a big loss, it opens up an opportunity for some of these other guys.
Brian, we saw a lot of good individual performances in the passing game, Fitz and Gesicki and Devontae and Preston. Why did it work so well as a unit? Why did it work so well together yesterday?
Well, I thought we talked all week about good spacing, good route detail, and ultimately getting open and catching the football. We did have some drops. Which we can eliminate those, but I would say at the end of the day, our guys did a good job of releases, getting into the route, and then our right route detail and technique at the top of the route, getting themselves open, and they made some tough catches. I thought Mike, this was his best game. I thought he played with an attitude and an energy that we need to see on a week-to-week basis. He was fired up. I love that about him. I got on him a little bit. You can't get fired up, get animated, then, you know, come out because you're a little gassed, you know. Then let's save our energy then. So, but he played well. I think our O-line, you know, did a good job from a protection standpoint, gave us some time to throw it. And then, honestly, it starts with Fitz. I think there's a lot of confidence that he'll get them the ball with an opportunity to make a play, and he gets the whole offense going. So he's done a good job, and he's a leader, and they follow.
What are you thinking at right guard with Sutherland and Reed? Who's ahead, or what are you looking for there?
Well, we pushed Shaq, you know, made him inactive. I would say, and I, you know, we've talked about this as a total team, the rookie wall is a real thing, and we've got to push through that. So I guess that's my message to Shaq and all rookies. But, you know, Shaq's done a good job, so he'll be in the mix. I know you just mentioned Keaton and Chris, but Shaq's definitely in the mix. And, look, we'll continue to go out there and do a good job in practice. And let's be clear, Shaq's done a very good job the entire year. I don't want this to get misconstrued as me jumping on Shaq. I think he's done a good job. This is a good young player. This is somebody I have a lot of confidence in. But the rookie wall is a real thing, and I think his fatigue is starting to set in a little bit. And, you know, that was part of the reason why, he was inactive. So let's be clear on that one. He'll be in the mix there. I think we've got, you know, three guys who we feel good about. And based on practice, based on the matchups, we'll play who we feel most confident in.
Fitz has talked about how he feels like he's made for this kind of situation this season with this team, and the kind of player that he is. You're smiling. I assume you agree with that. What did you see particularly yesterday?
Fitz is made for any situation. So, I mean, that's why I'm smiling. But Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Well, how has that been the case that he's helped keep things pointed in the right direction with some pretty tough sledding at times?
I think he's, you know, he's an experienced player. He understands this offense. And you know, by all accounts, he's pretty much a coach on the field. So he can kind of direct traffic and point guys in the right direction. And I think, you know, in a lot of ways, that's probably kind of what he's alluding to. And I see that too. So he is he's done a good job from that standpoint. And, you know, he's a confident person. And you know, the other guys feed off of that confidence. And I think that's helped us across the board, not just offensively. I would agree with him.
That's good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. That is the day after press conference with Brian Flores. You know, one of the things that was taken from it, because we were talking about it as he was talking about Preston Williams. That's the big breaking news. Preston Williams out for the season. There's a couple things I think you could take through. What is that? 8 games, I guess, halfway through the season?
Yes.
I think two things that you can for sure take out of half the season. Preston Williams is a legit receiving talent, and Josh Rosen is not a good quarterback. Right?
Yes.
I mean, you hear just the way that he talks about Ryan Fitzpatrick there. He's like glowing, and he's wanted to talk that way since preseason about Josh Rosen. He just can't do it. So I think you could take two things from it. Preston Williams is a talent, and they found him, and Josh Rosen ain't it.
I don't get emotionally attached to it, but that hurt me just hearing Preston Williams is out, because I think these last two games have been him, hey, 1-on-1, throw him the ball. Like, let you go beat your guy, and yep. Fitzy's is giving him that chance. But to get to Rosen, they would have loved for Josh Rosen at 22 years old yep. to be great. You don't want a 35-year-old to be great. He's on the back end. This
Correct.
Man's about to get a check from the government.
No, if they had their druthers, man – Josh Rosen and Preston Williams would have been fines. Like, that would have been, wow, you went into a lost season and came out with a legit one or two receiver and a real quarterback and whatever. So they hit on Preston Williams,
yeah.
And I'd say that we can all kind of assume that Josh Rosen ain't it.
No, I would not. Looking at what's going on, and I talked to somebody, a couple guys about this yesterday at the game, I wouldn't mind having Fitzpatrick on this team with the young quarterback.
Yes, totally agree with that.
Teach him all the little things he knows, the little tricks, the little reads and all that. And then if the young guy was to get hurt, if it is Tua, we know he has some ankle issues coming out of college. I don't mind Fitzpatrick filling in and getting those one or two games if somebody goes down. Like, that's how I've swung. I was praying Josh Rosen was the dude. Now yep. I'm sitting at bringing the young guy, leave Fitzpatrick here, let him teach. We still got him under contract for another year.
Yep.
It was a two-year
yep.
deal.
Yep.
I think that's the plan, Hawk.
Somebody texts in, they would love to hear Adam Gase's press conference today rather than Brian Flores's. We're going to talk with Manish Mehta later on in the show, covers the Jets for the New York Daily News, and it's – You know, there's talk that Adam Gase may not make it through the entire season. Now, I know Manish told us on Friday, I can't imagine that he's even going to get fired after this season, because that would be the Johnson family admitting that they made a mistake, yeah. and it wouldn't look good on many different levels. But, man, he is being vilified across the nation. I mean, he is a punchline. He is a punchline. Willie Taggart was a punchline
yes.
all last season with the whistle. I mean, we made fun of him with the purse.
The purse.
And then it continued where, you know, if you run a franchise, whether it's collegiate or professional, you don't want your guy to be a punchline.
No.
You don't want him to be a national punchline. And it's why FSU got rid of Willie Taggart.
Yep.
Like, you can't – like, if you're trying to be a dominant football program – the last thing you want to do is go through several years of what you know is the wrong decision just because the optics might be bad. And so you pull the plug on it earlier rather than later. You know, we probably made that mistake with Al Golden.
Yep.
Dolphins probably made that mistake with Ryan Tannehill. Like, there's myriad examples of, well, you ride with something because you don't want it to look bad. But, man, I'm not certain that the New York Jets can continue to ride with Adam Gase if they look like this week after week.
And, Hawk, well, you're talking about Florida State. The guy that stepped in as the interim head coach, I've never heard his name or heard of him in my entire life. Greg Williams is sitting there on that Jet sideline. You don't think Greg Williams is going up to talk to somebody today or tomorrow?
Every day.
We talked about it when they gave him the D.C. job where Greg will undercut somebody. Now, Greg will run up with a cheese pizza and some sides in a box. Hey, what's he about to deliver you? And start throwing stuff on. Like, that's what – that Greg will do that. I don't see how Adam Gase can make it through this year if there's game after game of what happened on Sunday. That was embarrassing. Even being a Dolphin guy, watching the Dolphins, hoping the Dolphins win, wanting to embarrass Adam Gase. In the fourth quarter, like, they didn't have anything left. Like, I say that in high – when I coach high school, like –
You're right.
I'll go to the sideline and I'll tell our defensive coach, I'll be like, coaches, they don't have any more plays left. That's not supposed to happen in the highest level of football in the world, and that's what happened on Sunday with the Jets. That's embarrassing, Gase.
Do they – are they on their bye week, Solana? I'm trying to look at their line for next week. I don't even see a game. Are they on their bye week? Maybe they're on their bye week next week.
They just need to go do something else, hire somebody.
Jets schedule.
No, they play the Giants this upcoming weekend.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they already had their bye.
Oh, look at that.
They get their mouth bashed by the Giants, too?
Man, I mean, let me see who else they have. Then they've got Washington, so that could be a win. Raiders, that's probably a loss. Then they've got the Bengals.
Oh,
so
there you go.
That's, you know, and then the Dolphins again. And by the way, for the Dolphins, like, this was fun the one time. Let's not make a habit of this.
But there's a report now. Le'Veon's having an MRI on his knee.
Oh, really?
If Le'Veon's out, they haven't been utilizing him already. But if he's out, that takes another weapon.
But you know
away
what?
From
the
you.
Thing is, let's say they get a real high draft pick. Are you going to allow Adam Gase to choose your next quarterback after he's been an abject failure with quarterbacks?
Fuck, he hired their GM.
I know, but
he
I mean,
has
you,
to make the decision.
But you can't. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to get out of it if you're the Jets. Like that. I mean. That, to me, would be beyond foolish. All right, we're going to try to sort things out here because we're at Twin Peaks in Davie, and we listened to the Brian Flores press conference there. There's that Teddy Bridgewater video with the
strut.
With the cheerleader strut. Man, I love that. I love that. Oh, my goodness. All right, so we're at Twin Peaks in Davie. Joe Shad from the Palm Beach Post, he is going to join us. We got a lot of stuff to get to in the next 3 hours of the program.
Man, y'all get out to Lou Back Road. Coconut Creek Chevrolet, y'all seen those Chevys on the road. Go check them out. Go test drive and take you a nap. My friend Eric Nunez, the GM over there at Lou Back Road, he will watch out for you. He's watched out for dozens of people I've sent over there. He's watched out for me. I bought a couple Chevys from him. I drove here in my Suburban today. Y'all get over to Lou Back Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet, and check out how a real dealership is supposed to look. They will save you thousands over any other dealership, not in the city, not in the area, not in the state, but in the nation. And they are your Silverado headquarters as well. You got to check out those new pickup trucks. The entire line of Chevys are amazing, but the Silverados are just – I'm a pickup truck guy. You know I love to hunt and fish and all that stuff, and the pickup trucks are amazing. Other dealers have to sneak in to Eric because they will leave their dealership because they know Eric can hook them up, their families up, their spouses up better than they can hook themselves up. Eric has it on lock. Find new roads, but don't overpay. Get incredible deals every time you go down to Eric at Lou Back Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet. Like I said, go see what an award-winning lineup of Chevys looks like, an award-winning sales team, award-winning service department, a beautiful showroom. See how it's really supposed to look. Conveniently located at 441 just south of the Sawgrass Expressway and online at CoconutCreekChevrolet.com. Lou Back Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet. Find new roads.
What a fun Monday today is going to turn out to be because the Hurricanes handled FSU and the Dolphins handled Adam Gase, and the Panthers had a great shutout win over the weekend. The Heat were just monsters yesterday. Masvidal won on Saturday night as well, and the Florida Gators were big old losers. So what
yeah,
a
that's what you got to bring up last.
What a day that we're having here at Twin Peaks in Davie. We're on University Drive, and I highly recommend if you get out of work early or whenever you get out of work, you stop on by Twin Peaks University Drive in Davie. We always have a great time while we're out here. We'll be out here till 6 o'clock. They'll be here all night. Watch a little Monday night football if you feel like it. We've got a ton planned for you during the next 3 hours of the show. Joe Shad, who covers the Dolphins for the Palm Beach Post, he'll join us around 3:15. We endeavor to take all the stations, Papa. The Hockman and Crowder simulcast begins next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.